So that means it crosses over Abhideya. Right? Because when we're dealing with the mind, then it's going sambandha abhayojana abhideya. It's only when the mind is attracted to something that will take an interest there. Contemplating that, it develops an attachment for it. Right? So that takes it to prayojana. Only then will it come back to abhideya and perform the activity of the self. So, this means it's crossing over Abhideya. Abhideya is also where it is the reflection, it is the chit potency, or your knowledge potency. Do you understand the principle that's happening here? Means, for attachment to actually develop, means you have to cross over intelligence. Right? So, in other words, attachment, intelligence is not involved. Does that make sense? That's why it's very important that what you contemplate is worth being attached to. Does that make sense? That's the basic principle. You contemplate those things that are within your field of activities. Your field of activities, right, the suffering elements, then if you contemplate that, it's things that are within your sphere. So if you become attached to forming an activity within that and getting a result within that, there's not a problem. Because once the attachment is there, intelligence is not being applied to the attachment. And that's why you get these emotional responses. That makes sense. Something you think to be discussed intellectually can't, because you're not dealing with intelligence. Right? You use intelligence now to get your result of your attachment. But it's not being applied on whether that attachment is important or not. Does that make sense? Yes, no? What do you mean? Doesn't make any sense.
I just can't hear.
You can't hear.
I mean,
can't hear me means what I'm saying doesn't make sense, or...
No, I'm just a bit distracted with their names, and I'm wanting to hear what
you're
saying.
Oh, okay. No, I did so. And you? What doesn't make sense?
I think the Chinese is not quite true, so I'm just trying to make up ground.
Okay. And the point is attachment, when you contemplate something, that's still within the realm of sambandha. Attached contemplation means you are contemplating your relationship with it. But if that's contemplated, then it develops attachment. That's straightforward. That's part of the Gita, right? So now, but that process of developing attachment means that the mind is moving from sambandha to prayojana. It means you're not taking into consideration the intelligence, which is functioning in action. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're using intelligence, you go sambandha abhideya prayojana. Right? The logical sequence. I perform the activity. I mean, I have an interest in the activity. I know the field. I mean, have an interest. I perform. It will give a particular result, right? But you're looking at it from sambandha that do this, I get that. It's still a relationship. It's not me. I perform the activity. Activity having been performed, I get the result. Right? Having gotten the result, now is, you know, there may be that experience is good, but like that, you may develop an attachment. That is, then that prayojana moves back into sambandha because now it's filled with activities. Right? Because results are observable. Does that make sense? There's always an action, there's some observable result. Right? That moves back into sambandha because sambandha is a field of activities. Right? So now your field of activities has increased. That's why material activity increases your material entanglement. Right? Because it increases the field of activity. Does that make sense? Okay? So, then it works like that. So that's how, like, sadhana and those things, performance of duties works, is that you don't necessarily have an attachment to doing them, but there's an interest. Right? You can understand the importance, there's an interest, you're willing to, you know, commit yourself to that process. But it's not that you necessarily, it's your spontaneous drive of attachment why you're doing it. Does that make sense? So it works in that order. Right? You're seeing the result, but you're seeing it from Sambandha. Right? It means, in other words, you know, I, you know, take a glass of water, I put some lemon, I put some sugar, I mix it, I will get the lemon juice. Right? You know, that sounds interesting. So I go through the process. Right? Drinking this lemon juice, and I go, that's nice. So now that becomes part of your field of activities now, of making lemon juice. Now though, there may be the element of attachment. So now that it's dedicated, then it will be, because I like the lemon juice, therefore I'm going to make it. You understand? The other is possibilities. Right? Just like the guy, I'm not sure what his name, Bono, he was on, he put a rocket engine on his motorcycle. Right? You know, you can easily get killed with that one, right? So, I want to ask, why do you do something so insane? And the guy looks at you and says, because it can be done. He doesn't know what he gets from it. It's simply an option. It's a possibility. Right? In other words, the sambandha that looks attractive. You know? And you put one on the head, put two, one on each side. You know? Does this make sense? So in other words, it's an attraction, therefore the action is done, but you don't know exactly what's going to be the experience of the result. Right? Then there's where you know you're attached to that result, therefore that's why you're acting. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. I mean, do you understand the difference between attraction and attachment? Attraction means there's an interest, attachment means there's a need. So there can be, action can be performed based on attraction. It looks interesting. Right? Therefore I perform the activity, I get the result. Right? Or it can be, I perform the activity because already first, before the performance, I have a need for that result. So basically it's just which is common. So that makes the difference between spontaneous activities and activities that are done through regulation, through rules, through intelligence, through practice. Does that make sense? So it's the same process. You're dealing with the same elements. It's just a matter of what is the particular order, what is the prominence of the order. You know what I'm saying? Means there's going to be some touch of always the need for a result, but the one you know what the result is, the other one you don't know. You know, or at least there's a need for the result, and the other there's just an interest in the result. Does that make sense? So when there's an interest in the result, then the whole thing's based on intelligence. Right? When there's a need for the result, then it's based on mind, then it's attached. So the point that we're bringing out here is that attachment means it doesn't function necessarily on reason. Very important point to understand. Right? Because a lot of times when you're dealing with attachment, because you're not necessarily attached to the article or position or experience that the other person is, and so you're going to have to look at it intelligently, with logic. And so by logic, what's the big deal? And the other person, you know, can't look that way because they're dealing with attachment. That makes sense. Therefore, the famous phrase, you don't understand. Because you're not ascending that it's based on attachment. You're thinking it's just a logical sequence. zoning in the beginning. This is the preliminary to the point we're making. You have a question? Male and female psyche, yeah. Means in principle. Yeah. Because, in other words, the mind works thinking, feeling, willing, which is some other priority in the Abhidaya. Right? It means from the Abhidaya you're going to get your priority, but it's already that need for it, it's what drives you to do it. So action all happens that way, because the mind is receptive. Right? So, yeah. Then the logic then is those thinking, I mean, Abhidaya means, you know, thinking, willing, feeling, right? Because you don't have need to go somewhere that day, right? You don't need to think, feeling, willing. That's the way the mind works. Of course, it's always the element I have accepted, yes, I want to be God conscious. I'm willing to accept the process of sadhana and bhakti. So the need for it. But it's still more intellectual. So technically, you still want some bhakti prior to Abhideya, right? But because there's no experience in it, therefore, when you're performing the activity, it's not that I think, okay, I'm going to do this aspect of sadhana bhakti because I really just want the result. No. It is more indirect. It's that I want the result of Krishna consciousness. This is the process I have to follow. Right? This is the difference between Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raghunuga sadhana bhakti. Right? Understood by Srila Prabhupada, understood by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Not well understood by other lessees. Dangerous point to make, but the point is it's not what you're doing, it's that you want to do it, therefore that's why you're doing it. Prabhupada very easily explained, Raga Muga Bhakti means not I'm going to Mangalarti because it's the Brahma Muhurta, it's the best, you know, most pure book to find. It's the best way to make spiritual advancement. It's recommended by the Shastras. It's recommended by the authorities. Therefore, I'm going. That's why you stop in the bhakti. Where I go to Mangalarti, I like Mangalarti. You know, it's very important for me. The experience of Mangalarti, I like that. I don't want to miss that. I want to see Krishna. I want to be there. I want to sing for him. That is Raghunuga sadhana. Some try to link it that unless it's connected to, you know, attack, you know, remove the gopis, then it's not Radha Nuga. That's not the clubbing, right? Because Vrindavan is Radha Nuga. That means the cows who want to see Krishna in the morning, right? The birds, everybody. When Krishna goes back to Vrindavan, after being in the field, all the animals, birds, everybody follow him back to Vrindavan, and they stay in all the trees in the forest right there. They don't go back out into the forest. So as soon as Krishna comes out, then they see Krishna, and then they go with Krishna out to the forest. So they're working on Rag, right? The servants are working on Rag. The friends are working on Rag. So Rag is the principle is where I want to do this. I have spontaneous attachment. Right? Then you can apply it to the mood of the gopis, the mood of the parents, the mood of the cavern boys, you know, that's a detail. So don't be fooled that the two have to go together. You're feeling cold. You didn't come dressed for the occasion. Oh, so it's just a common point, yeah. Just wear 20 chargers or something. Hmm? Oh, this will be cold. I am left with 20. So then, does that make sense to them? So therefore, the intellectual, yes, you can take it and say that the masculine mentality is based on intelligence. Identity is intelligence, while the feminine identity is that of attachment of the mind, right? Because the master sense of Krishna is existence, right? So he is the Sat. I mean, he's Satchitananda, but he is basically one in the philosophy of the Lord, the Sat, existence, because everything exists based on him, Everything else expands from Krishna. Right? So therefore, he is the existence principle. He's also Chit, he's also Ananda. But he is that when he expands, then you get it. So Balaram then is the Lord of the Chit potency, knowledge, activities, you know, like this. And Radharani is the, you know, mistress of the Vladini, right? So the Vladini is your Prayojana. That makes sense? So the natural position of the feminine is Prayojana. The masculine is Sambandha, right? And because the masculine is also the Lord of Abhideya, that means who makes the Abhideya work? Men or women? Men. Okay, therefore the couch potato doesn't work because the man is not active. In other words, the meeting between the masculine and feminine principle has to be initiated by the masculine. Right? Masculine is, you know, unaware. The feminine may do some temporary interaction to generate an interest, you know, an attraction, so that the masculine will be active. You know, it's just like you see in the partial pan. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's a documentary on this one place in Africa. It's just a dry, kind of barren, a little bit of a valley. And then one time of the year, for I think it's like 1 or 2 months, it rains and it fills up with water, and suddenly there's unlimited light forms there. Okay, so in there, there's one clip where there are two male lions, you know, the archetypical couch potatoes, and they're sitting down next to the water, you know, how they'll sit there waiting for a smaller little entity to come in and drink. And so, and they're just completely absorbed in their kind of male bonding. A female tigress walks by, you know, and she walks by in, you know, her natural, how do you say, languoring, would be the word? Is that the word, languoring? Means, in other words, in a very flowing, feminine kind of way. She walks by, and the two male elephants just go on in their, you know, their sankarshan element of, you know, male bonding. Like this and that. She walks about, past about, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 feet. They didn't notice her at all. She walks back, you know, straight up to the biggest of the two, you know, I guess the more, you know, manly and attractive of the two lions. And just when he's right, she's right next to him, he notices, he turns his face, and she slaps him in the face. Just whacks him in the face, and then turns around and walks off. So, I mean, these things aren't limited to the human species. They're just masculine, feminine principles. You know, like that. Yeah, so it's just the way it works, you know, the whole principle. So, that is there. So, therefore, the need for the masculine to be active in it, to show that he is interested. Right, so now this takes us to the next stage. After attachment, then comes consideration. Right, that's the next stage. Because if you're attached, then you're considerate of it, you're aware of it, you're sensitive toward the object of attachment. Right? And if there's consideration, then the next stage is confidence. Does this make sense? Only if someone is considerate, then the other party can become confident. Does that make sense? Yes.
What do you mean by considerate?
Considerate. You mean that the word you've never heard, or...
I've heard it before, but if you can give an example. If you can give an example.
Considerate means that, in other words, when you're considerate, you consider the other person's position. In other words, you're sensitive to the other person. It means you don't do something just for yourself. You always consider that the other party is present and is part. generally when we think of consideration, it's always a positive term. You know, so that's basically what it is. That's how it works in English. But the principle of it can be used positively or negatively. Men use it positively. If they use it negatively, it's actually unknown. They don't even know it's there. But women use it negatively much of the time. Right? Because when they're being emotionally, how you say, applying emotional disciplinary action upon male species, it's done with consideration because it's done considering the other party. They're never left out of the equation. There's nothing that women do that's not considering somebody else in some relationship. Men can act simply just, I am here, I work with dead matter, I get results. You know what I'm saying? They have that element. Right? The feminine doesn't, right? It's feminine, so it's never. But it's misunderstood by the masculine mentality that it's being inconsiderate or leaving them out of the relationship because it's negative. Because for the masculine, negative means positive. Right? I am here, I exist, and I'm okay, and then you add the feminine element into your existence to increase the happiness, right? Krishna is there, he's not Rama. He expands the creation. Why? To increase rasa. Right? But because he's God, rasa can be positive and negative. That's why in Raj there's not a problem with separation being the highest. How you say, manifestation of, you know, spiritual attachment. Right? But other realms, other than Braj, no other realms consider it the highest. They consider Sambhoga being together with Krishna as the highest. Understand? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, that element then makes it unique. Because, in other words, any aspect of relationship where there's consideration of the other person, whether the experience is considered happy or not happy, is considered dynamic. Does that make sense? And the point is so your goal is somehow to be together. But the greatest nourishment of Sambho is Vibhavama or separation. Right? So that separation can either be physical separation or emotional. Or both. Understand? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, yeah. So then consideration means the other person is always part of the equation. And that means you're always being careful. Right? Now we're looking at it here also, we must remember, as Shastras do from the masculine standpoint. Right? Because the masculine is what initiates the interaction. So when the masculine is considerate, the feminine becomes confident. Right? And naturally when the feminine is confident, the masculine is confident. So then, and then from, yeah, okay, does that make sense? Yes.
So you're saying before that this can be a problem for a woman because she's always considered, so are you meaning that because she's not?
Because she's attached.
Yeah.
She is attached, therefore she's always considerate.
Yeah.
But that consideration means you can, there is a generic, I consider the other person in the relationship or in my decision of what I do or think or say. But that may also be in the negative. You know what I'm saying? And that you're chastising or being silent or in some way the other person is uncomfortable, you know, but for a good reason, because of improper behavior or, you know, inappropriate something. Right? Does that make sense? But the masculine is always thinking, their consideration is always in the positive. It's for that the other person will be happy. You know what I'm saying? It's just, they're more simple. You know what I'm saying? The masculine principle is more makes it that they're the one that has to initiate the activity because of the directness. Or the feminine is more complicated. It's made of contradictory elements. So therefore, when you have two contradictory elements happening at once, they tend to neutralize each other in the way of action. Right? The girl is very inspired, but she's shy. So there's no action. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, the masculine has to make the contact. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't have those complications. It's very straightforward. Does that make sense? Okay. So then in here, then means, okay, is this all clear, this formula? So now comes practical application. Therefore, if the man at any time, weight, shape, or form in the smallest, minutest aspect is seemingly, or is inconsiderate, in other words, he doesn't use the right words that are favorable for the feminine mentality at the time, the right expression, the right action, the right movement, the right topic, that's considered, then that is then interpreted by the female element as inconsiderate. Okay? So now, what is considerateness based upon? You know, by this formula we've been using, what generates consideration? Attraction. So then, what is the next step? In the logical, I mean the emotion, I mean the logical sequence of emotions that the woman thinks. He's not attached. And if he's not attached means, what's the one before that? What's it based on? He's not attracted. And if he's not attracted, there's no relationship. So when there's no relationship, one becomes insecure. You become insecure, that means what it is that you require, because you're dependent. The relationship, therefore it's anger after frustration. Does this make sense?
What's the topic that we're talking about?
Relationships.
In the material world, or
did you notice that
it
has to be one or the other? That's just relationships. You're dealing with God's creation. So God's creation includes the spiritual and the material. Now, in other words, it's like this. You've never heard this stuff before because no one will ever take our philosophy and apply it in your life, how you have to deal with day-to-day life. That's why you've never heard this before. But I'm talking straight Rupa Goswami, and I can go in and out of either the application in Raj or the application in your life with your girl. It's who created girls. Who created men? Him. He is man. Who relates with them? Him. Who here is the idiot that tries to relate with them like him? Us. So if you want to be successful, you got to do it the way he does. You know, if you want to be God, do a good job of it. You know, for being a lazy bum. You understand? So this is why then confidence. So if a woman is confident, you know, a relaxed, natural confidence, not in your face, you know, wagging your butt at you, confidence. You know what I'm saying? Then that means she has a strong relationship. Her men are considerate. Now you count on your fingers on one hand how many women you know like that. That's a problem. I can go to Asia, there's millions of them. This also answers yesterday's question on, you know, white boys. Did you understand? So this is the social problem that the devotee faces. It's the same one that the karmi faces, but we're not concerned with that. So we're explaining it so people know what they're doing, so that their material life will go more smoothly. You may say it's Maya, but it's a Maya they are realistically in and want. And if they don't deal with it, You don't see them here at the temple. Who comes to this temple, right? Why was the complaint? When this program, we fill up this program, this temple, with people that come to the temple regularly, who comes here? What color are they? Yeah? You sure? Yeah. And if you count the bulk, who's, what color is it? It's a little bit more on the Indian side. Why? You know, because, and they're coming with their women, and their kids, and their whole family. And they're coming regularly. How is that? Because their women are comfortable. So they're comfortable. So they can act in their natural position. They're religious. They want to come to the temple. They want to be part of it. Because they're satisfied in material relationships. They're confident that if they come to the temple, their husband's not going to be on something. Why aren't the others coming? Because they're not coming. If they're coming, then they have a good relationship or they're alone. I'm just talking reality, facts. You know, my typical, very generic, doesn't really apply to the individual, you know, discussions. But it's just if you open your eyes and observe, it may not be nice, no one wants to hear it. That's why we're saying we're trying to wake up the devotees that you follow these eternal principles, then your material life goes properly. But the point is this is the key how you connect it. In other words, you are going along into this scenario. It's great, nice conversation, wife's chirpy, you're happy, you know, and many days since, you know, something like this has happened. It's all upbeat, everything's going right, and, you know, you're so confident in it, you know, yourself, you know, you're very relaxed about it, you know, and you suddenly, without being, because you drop the consideration because of your, where you get used to something, take for granted, yeah, complacency, just that, you know, it's cool, it's nice, it's going great, I'm doing a great job, then you slide back into the masculine element that is not connected with relationship. And, you know, make the comment that he would more likely make with his friends, his other masculine friends. Right there, bang, in that nanosecond, the whole atmosphere is ruined, the wife is upset, she's angry, and he can't figure out what went wrong. Everything was going great, but he stopped being the dynamic element of it. He went back into a complacent instead of a considerate, which is dynamic. He was inactive male instead of active male. Right? Then she goes all creepy on him. He can't figure out what's going wrong. And then immediately, it's got to be her fault because he was just going along normally. Right? And so then he gets all angry. Why are you being creepy? We're so nice, you know. Why is he always like that? You're always getting angry. You're always this. Okay? So then, where is the Krishna consciousness? I'm talking about devotees. I'm not talking about devotees. Karmas is the same thing, but it works with it. So what is this Mr. Being Real doing about his Krishna consciousness at this moment? Neither his Krishna consciousness is happening, and neither is his material life happening. In other words, he's just a non-happening bozo. Very proud bozo. Totally inaccessible to telling him what he should do, bozo. Think he's the center of the universe and Mr. Right and everybody else doesn't understand, bozo. How is that being connected to Krishna? Nothing. Zero. Zip. And what's happening with this Krishna consciousness? Also about the same. So either he just drops the whole family thing and kind of becomes very, you know, irresponsible, and just does the basics and then, you know, starts coming to the temple and hanging out with other more macho guys and will support him that, you know, he's the cool guy and his wife's, you know, these women are all crazy. And therefore, further compounding his problem of actually understanding how to deal with any relationship. Or he just becomes depressed or gets off into something else, becomes distracted by something more mundane, goes out bowling, goes out skiing, you know, goes, you know, does something, some kind of sport, starts playing tennis, you know, gets buddy-buddy with the other guys, and then still the same thing. is when that situation comes up. Here is the formula of Srila Rupa Goswami that tell you how the masculine feminine mentalities work. So when this comes up, you can remember the instructions of the Acharyas. Now is that Krishna conscious, or would that be Krishna conscious? You know what I'm saying? So now, what is more useful? Sitting around and just talking this great philosophy, never applying it to your life, other than you're supposed to surrender and go out with that money. Right? Like that. Or if you're not collecting it or making it, and then you give what you got because you know, we're not in control of that. Okay? Or that you are able to deal with your day-to-day material life because that's what you need. That's why you got married. That's why you had fun and family. That's why you had a job and money and everything. And how to connect to Krishna. How to free yourself from it because you understand ultimately, therefore, the real attraction and attachment should be to Krishna. But because I am dutiful, excuse the dirty word to the Western mentality, because I am dutiful, I will perform the activities nicely. And because this is how the male-female relationship works, therefore I'm going to perform these duties very nicely, even if I've come to the point now from dealing with it in connection to Krishna, I have no need specifically for it. I don't have that same drive I had when I was a young man and got great verbal. You know what I'm saying? So now, because I know what the feminine nature is, what it means, I will deal properly for their satisfaction. They're devotees. I'm helping them in their Krishna consciousness. A woman is confident, then she is Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? So that means, that's why if the men don't get it, they go out on their own to get it. Means no, that's where your women's liberation comes from. The men aren't providing, so they'll go out and get it themselves and they'll associate amongst themselves, right? The women are women's libs, you know, the women can go out freely with the men, but the women's lib are the ones that know we don't move with the men, we stick to women. It's a little bit more vague, you know. They don't understand. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, the principle is this is how one can connect and become detached from it because you're using intelligence. You only become detached from something by the combination of application in Krishna consciousness with intelligence, right? That's Buddha Yoga, that's what's described in the Gita. Right? So here is the way that you can engage and connect your life, your so-called real life, being real Prabhu and being practical Prabhu and, you know, we're not fanatic Prabhu to Krishna. The problem is that the people who make those statements are not intelligent enough or don't realize that they're intelligent enough that they could connect everything to Krishna. There's Krishna consciousness, then there's practical life. But that practical life is also created by Krishna and works according to Krishna's laws. You follow according to Krishna's laws, if it goes nice, if you don't, it doesn't go nice. And if you follow Krishna's laws to please Krishna, then it becomes indirectly connected to Krishna, you become purified. So now, what is being practical for Buddha? Going out there and being totally illusioned and not knowing what it is and just boosting up your ego so that, you know, build a nice wall so no one will fail or report of I'm, you know, in Maya and I don't want to hear about it. Or I'm in Maya, I'm dealing with it because I know what Maya I'm in, I know how to deal with it, and I gradually, over the years, by practice, by intelligence, I am freeing myself of this Maya scientifically, and it is gone. I am making myself liberated by dealing with my family according to the Shastra. What's more intelligent? Yeah. This is the second canto of Bhagavatam. This is the Bhagavad Gita. This is the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. But if you notice, they're not the most popular cantos that people need. you're going to deal. What are we dealing with from third canto on? Is it always just great stages and renounced personalities? It's practically all Grihasthas. And very renounced Grihasthas who, you know, never touched a wife, never had kids. Everybody's having kids coming out of the ears. Right? So what's it based on? What makes them special? Because they follow the instructions of second canto. Which is everything directly and indirectly connected to Lord. So what I'm talking about is the indirect. But it is the same formula that functions in the direct of the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense? So that's why at any one point I can explain this is what's happening in the male-female relationship here. This is what's happening in Krishna's pastimes.
Not
basis do you claim that you are superior in the pecking order? Because the feminine has to have a pecking order. Right? Does that make sense? If it's being presented from the actual masculine platform, it makes sense. It's not a problem. Because women know who they are. It's just a matter of these persons that are describing, they don't know what less intelligent means. Because they'll take it means they're academically less intelligent, their intelligence isn't very refined, they can't apply it properly to material energy, they don't have a good memory, whatever it is, they use, you know, more of a modern academic idea, but women can be so much better. They always remember. The guy can't remember, you know, what he did. The woman always remembers what 12 years ago on, you know, this night at this time that he said this, right? So that's good memory. Right? That's part of intelligence. Women are 4 times more clever than men. So when it comes to actually moving material energy and getting things done that they want, they're actually more clever. But the gross moving, mechanical movement of material energy, that men are better at than women, because there's no emotion in it, so there's no nothing about, not that the women couldn't do it technically, there's no interest. You know, but because that's the interest of men, and it works on logic and principles, therefore then they'll think women are less intelligent.
And so
now
to when you're in that situation, how to not get emotional about it?
You just understand is that what's sitting on that seat and talking is another woman. And they're just trying to, they're just using a very, it's just like a woman when she speaks doesn't necessarily speak straight what she's meaning. Right? In other words, they'll say one thing mean another. Does that make sense? You know, you never address he dresses nicely most of the time, it's just that sometimes he's a little sloppy about something or there's some aspect of his outfit that he's attached to that you don't really like. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's not the words that they're saying that is actually what's being meant. Right? It's that something is being said that indicates what you want done. Right? And so for women, because this is their natural state, then women, you know, for them the guessing game is normal. You know, a woman is there, she's feeling bad, you don't come up and go, tell me what's wrong. You know, that's not the way it works. You come up and say, oh, did someone say something, or did this happen? And you keep going until you start getting warmer, and then you move in on it until you get exactly. Men come up and say, tell me what's wrong. They expect a woman to stop and go, you know, in a very sober state of mind, and, you know, and explain the whole thing. It doesn't work like that. It just happens on the platform. So, therefore, you know, things are indirect. It's the natural position. Masculine's direction is indirect. That's what makes it interesting. You know, the one is the opposite of the other. So, therefore, then the person is basically indirectly from the feminine platform trying to establish themselves as the superior woman in the room. Does that make sense? But they're not saying that. They use another indirect way of establishing it. So that's one way of doing it. The other way is just, you know, excuse yourself, you got to do something, you get out of the meeting. Extremely intelligent. say something like, if you want, I can explain a really good one for you. You know, one of the hottest of all the issues is the rape point. You know, the Prabhupada said that, you know, this is how it's presented. Women, Prabhupada saying, women like rape. Okay, so that's the blunt, because you have to, means if you want to win a battle or a war, you have to present it in the language, taking it out of context, right? That works a lot easier than exactly representing what's there. Okay. If we look at the conversation where Prabhupada mentioning that point, he is referring to information that is coming from the women. He was talking about, I think, specifically an incident from World War II where women from a different country, it may have been Belgium or something, were invaded by the Germans, and some of them were raped by the German soldiers. And, you know, some years later talking about it, then they were mentioning that the actual interaction was pleasant. But, you know, being, you know, chaste wives or, you know, just people with culture and or just being a woman in specific, it's not the exact way that you imagine becoming intimate with somebody, so therefore it's unappreciated, right? So Prabhupada was going from a conversation of women making the point. So he made the point, if you read it, you know, he uses an expert man. Expert. So what does expert mean? This is being completely avoided or not even noticed by these women who are jumping up and down about this. The point is, expert means a man who knows exactly the desires and needs of a woman and only acts for her pleasure. That's an expert man in intimate dealings. The man who acts for his own pleasure is not considered expert. In the Vedic standpoint, the Vedic has no room for a man who acts for his own pleasure in intimate dealings with a woman. It has to be 100% he is acting for the woman's pleasure. Because anything that pleases the woman will be pleasurable to the man. But what's pleasurable to the man may not be pleasurable to the woman. So Prabhupada says when an expert man rapes a woman, then it was pleasurable to her on the sensual platform. It doesn't mean that socially or as an individual she appreciated that this guy was coming on in a forceful way. But they, one, they can't split the two, and two, they can't understand this word expert is there. So we're talking about the things. He's not talking about a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, comes along, grabs the girl, throws her down in the bushes, and does whatever he wants to do and walks off. He's not talking about that. You know what I'm saying? He's talking about, a person who has this attraction or need for this woman. He deals with her appropriately as a woman, you know, but socially it's not an acceptable, or the time, place, and circumstances was not acceptable. So therefore, the woman was not inclined, therefore it's rape. Because you can't technically, even in modern terms, say a husband can rape his wife. You know, he can get, you know, it can be used against him in a court of law. So the point is that it has to take into time, place, circumstance, the whole thing, then the woman's agreement, then it's there. But the point is the expertise in which it is. In other words, you would, let us say, if you took it into where the woman was more willing, you would call it seduction. She was maybe not inclined, but because of his expertise, he seduced her. But the seduction, it uses time. You got all night. You go to dinner, you go out to this, you go out to that, and it ends up, you know, she wasn't planning it to go that direction. You know what I'm saying? It's called seduction. But where there's the element of force, then it falls into the element of rape. In other words, your time frame is much shorter. But it's not that the consideration and principles of dealing with the woman are not being performed. Therefore, from that side, it was nice for the woman. But at the same time, she didn't want it to happen, not the, you know, whatever it is, you know, so there'll be so many other considerations, therefore it's categorized as fate. Does that make sense? So that's their big issue, so that means everything else is very easy to deal with. So we've already dealt with the less intelligent and that. So there's no need to put it in there because people, oh, it's so funny, because these people don't actually know what real ethics are. Political correctness is technically supposed to be representing ethics, but they don't actually know what ethics are because ethics are given by God. They make up ethics. So they really don't know, they don't have standards. So it's political. So their approach is political. Otherwise, why do they miss the word expert? He doesn't say, when any man rapes a woman, she loves him. He says, when an expert man, he's not considering a brute. He's not considering an uncultured man, a person who doesn't know what he's doing. Does that make sense? Therefore, the DDP doesn't want to put things in. They're not so foolish to put things in Prabhupada's books and put ideas into people's minds that don't need to be there because of the inspiration of people who read things into Prabhupada's books and don't actually understand the culture and don't carefully read what they're reading. They just emotionally respond, you know, giving themselves some value in some position, right? In other words, you generally see women in this process, as you mentioned, who are confident, they're generally not the ones who are dealing with the considered way. They're not generally the ones that have these anxieties like that. It's generally ones who don't have that consideration, don't feel that attachment to them. Therefore, they do not feel that they are needed. And they have to, a woman can't feel like that. So she has to generate a need. You know, even if it is, you know, artificially imposed upon everybody else, she has to generate it. So here, therefore, now we're serving womankind, but most of the other women aren't actually interested or willing to get close to these women that are pushing it. Because their attitude is stuff that you wouldn't want to get close. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, it's not even a problem that they're doing this because it's natural as women that they're doing that they will do this because of their situation. Does that make sense? So, even the same formula applies. You don't even get them out of shape. You know, who are these people? You know, they're going against Prabhupada teaching this and that. Or, you know, no. They're only reacting as women. So the actual problem is not Prabhupada's books. It's that they're not being protected, they're not being cared for. So, therefore, as a society socially lacking needs to look into this, how to properly take care of it. So it's not just women, there's five. They're the ones that can make the most trouble. Because you say the brahmacharis, but you know, you just may kind of either just disappear or just kind of go this way. Brahmacharis, women, Brahmins, nobody cares for them anyway. Old men or cows, right? Cows don't complain, they just die. Old men, we don't have enough of them yet to actually figure out that, you know, nobody cares yet. Brahmins, who cares for them because they're not very practical anyway, and who can do that? It's, you know, it's not one of these things like this, and Brahmacharis, you just tell them to do so. It only leads to women as a force. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, you only hear from them. You don't see the cows out or the temple placard saying, you know, we're not being taken care of them. You know what I'm saying? Like that. When, you know, my godbrothers, you know, start hitting the 70s and start figuring out that nobody really cares, then you'll start seeing that there will be a movement on taking care of old people. But before then, probably. Does that make sense? So it's not just the women's issue, it's actually all five. Protection is not being afforded. Therefore, it's not a proper civilization. Is that okay?
Generally,
yes. Yeah. few can do without, but it's rare. There are women who do like that, but it's rare. You know, it's like, you talk about the women who are the say, who come to Mata Goswami, and, you know, like that, and come to Mata Goswami, and come to Mata Goswami, but that's one out of how many hundreds of billions of women. Right? In all the women mentioned, you mentioned the Shastra, but sometimes mentioned Janavi, but Janavi was married, and this Janavi would happen to be her husband. You know, pretty good at what he's doing, right? Not that. Lord of the ship potency, therefore he knows what to do in our day. Right? So, therefore she's humble. You know what I'm saying? You know, she may be lecturing, she may be seemingly, but the point is what they do miss out on is she did lecture at the first Gorkhali in the festival. She was the one that established all the Siddhanta because the left of Lord Chaitanya left and the devotees kind of got bewildered and they started off in different directions with the philosophy. She brought it all together. Right? So you could say she did a major thing, but she did it from behind the curtain. Generally, they kind of minded the family about it. She would have been surrounded by her assistants and everything like that. Men wouldn't listen to her talk, they sit in the back. Women sit in the front. That's the etiquette of the thing. Women lecture. You know, if you have a, you know, men at the front, women at the back, then the women's going to, you know, the women at the front, men at the back. You know what I'm saying? You want to split it like this, and you split it. Like, if this is where the women sit, the men aren't going to go past that point. There's going to be women sitting right there. Men are going to be this side. Then she can be confident. She can be comfortable. They put her in a bunch of women like this. Do you ever notice how they seem Jai Radha Madhava look really fast? Because they're not comfortable. You know, the plump right there, it's all the men right there, and all the women sitting off around the edges, like why do we have to listen to her in class? You know, aren't there any men around? You know, stuff like that. So it doesn't make some great confidence. Right? So generally they speak not in formal environments, but in private environments. You know, workshops, you know, parikrams, house programs, things like that, that's where they're good, that's where they're comfortable. You know what I'm saying? That's just the nature. So it can be done. But
how do we understand that the soul is female and then takes up the male mentality to deal with
men in the play?
Excuse me?
Have you been in the drama?
Yes.
Right, you're an 8-year-old kid, but now you're the king. So that's what it is. What is the position of the leading entity in this world? He is the body. He actually is the prime minister of the country.
Country?
No. So it's a play, it's a drama. So the point is everyone likes a nicely performed drama. Everybody who pays the money and goes down, you know, to see witches knows it's a play. Right? They don't go and say, wow, here's a documentary, you know, real live documentary. You know, these are actually the witches of Oz, right? You know? You don't have to go to see that, you just walk down the street and see whatever. You know, here they have to pay money to see them, so you know, somebody has to, you gotta make a buck, right? So, the idea is that everybody knows it's a play. The people in the audience know it's a play, the actors on the stage know it's a play, the technicians doing all the support for the drama know it is. Right? The people who, you know, bankroll it know it is. Everybody knows it's a play. But people come out of there smiling and satisfied with what? It was done well and realistically? Or, you know, they just kind of did it and, you know, break down now and again and, you know, make comments about, well, it's only a play. It's only
Well, really.
Yeah, so that's the point. Is you're here, since the whole idea is activity and interaction and relationship, that's the principle. And should be connected to Krishna. So then, it's how well you perform your drama here. Is Mother Yashoda actually God's mother?
Yeah.
No, but she plays a part. So that's what goes on there. That's called Yoga Maya. So why it won't be the same principle in Mahamaya? But the point is when you deal with Mahamaya according to Guru Sadhu Shastra, then you're dealing with Yoga Maya. But you're dealing with inferior energy, not superior. So it's a drama anyway. You know, somebody is the head pujari and plays that part. Someone is the temple president. Someone is the sankirtan leader. Someone washes the pots. You know, someone is the congregation member. Someone is the temple devotee. It's all part of a drama. So the point is whose drama is it? If it's Krishna's, it's a nice drama. If it's not Krishna's, not so important. So the point is you want to play your part well, or you want to be independent, you know, sitting on the side and making crass comments and disturbing, you know, the actors and the audience.
First one.
Yeah. So if you play your part nicely, everyone is happy. So therefore, those who are in the male body play the male role, those in the female body play the female role. That's the way it works, right? Those as adults play the adult role. Kids play the kids' role. Right? Everybody does it, everybody's happy. Right? And that's as real as it gets. Right? And the other reality than that, that's the illusion. Right? The point is at the end. One may say, no, but I want real relationships. The point is why you want real relationships? You want the experience. Emotions. But now if actors play their part well, is the audience not emotionally affected? That's the point. That's where it's happening. The reality is you're an eternal, infinitesimal spark of Krishna's energy whose natural position is that of his servant. And engaging in his service with love is your natural position. Everything else, you know, is a detail or illusion. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that part played well, that's what makes everything wonderful. So that's why Prabhupada uses the element of drama.